So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, come here. I got something good for you. Come on.
Okay, so Kevin, spooky checkup number two. And
yeah,
and this is going to be our last spooky podcast before the season's over, because our next one, you know, if everything goes according to plan, would be, you know, November 1st, and it would be over.
which is crazy to think about, isn't it, man? Is that all these holidays that we look forward to so often, they just go by so damn quick. And I was discouraged when I went to Home Depot to pick up some new lights for my fence, that all the Christmas stuff is everywhere. They've already moved on from Halloween. But you know what, Dave, we are not going to move on from Halloween, because we have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, this is like the fourth quarter, you know.
This is the fourth quarter, man. We're going to drive to the end zone and really hopefully just spike the football on this one.
Yeah. So, what have you been? You know, you changed gears. Anything? I see you getting into the spooky playlist on Spotify there, which I love your additions there. So, thank you.
Thank you, actually, Dave. I know last week or last pod we were talking about the Spirit Halloween official playlist, but you're like, whoa! I got my own playlist. Check this out, and you sent that to me, and I'm like, hey, there's some bangers on here, man. They are good. And I started treading carefully. I was like, am I allowed to add anything to this? Is he going to be pissed if I mess with his playlist? Because there's a few things I do want to still add, that I don't want to jeopardize or pollute the pool there, man. So are you giving me permission to add songs to the spooky playlist?
Yeah, let's go, baby. And it's funny, because of course I was listening to it today, and I was just like, oh, shuffle, you know, the playlist or whatever. And then I think it was like the third song in, it was a song I hadn't heard before, and I was like,
what
God
the fuck
damn
is
it.
This?
Like, Google, what the hell are you doing to me, Google? Like, you know, what playlist did you like redirect me to? Because sometimes if I say, hey, like, just play the Halloween playlist, it'll just grab someone else's playlist, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was what was happening. Then I was like, oh, sweet. He added a few songs. I did like the one, and I can't remember the name of the song, but it's from Trolls, right?
Well, here's the ones I officially added to the spooky playlist that we have. And because, believe it or not, Dave, I went to my first Halloween party this weekend. And so naturally, when you're at those things, you hear bangers that you don't necessarily always hear. But the ones I added was officially there was It Must Be Halloween by Lovecraft. Halloweeny Four Innards, Eshniko or whatever. And then They're Coming to Take Me Away, which is a classic creepy song. But those are the ones I added. But I have some other ones I can be adding here, because I had a great time at our little Halloween party.
Yeah, let's go, man. Yeah, that playlist has been firing in all cylinders. I've been especially one song in particular.
Oh,
and that's the Terrifier theme.
Okay, yeah.
Theme song, and I don't want to transition yet into you know, Terrifier 2, but holy shit, that you know, John Carpenter synth, you know, EDM. I don't know, man. It's great, dude. I really dig it. But yeah, man. It's and thank you for pointing out the lyrics in Monster Mash, by the way.
Oh yes. Did we share that off air or on air? We're just gonna go rehash it again right now for the fans out there. Dave, there are some interesting lyrics in Monster Mash, is there not?
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to give out you know, give the girls a jolt of his electrode, and
Oh, Boris is at it again, damn it.
Goddamn Boris, yeah. Yeah, man. So that's good, you know. So the spooky season is firing on all cylinders for you guys as well.
And I told you this, is that many moons ago we did a couple's costume that fucked me over, and I never decided to dress up again, because I love Halloween. I love this time of year, and my wife goes all out on her costumes, but I don't dress up. I shared that, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, once again, when we went to this Halloween party, I didn't dress up. I did wear a Joe Burrow jersey, I guess, and I walked around, and they're like, what are you supposed to be? And I dropped the old, I'm a Bengals fan. Nothing scarier than that. Ha, ha, ha.
Har, har, har.
Right. And so, I mean, I just really struggle with getting the costume. And like, she, that's the thing. She does not do a repeat costume ever. And if there's multiple Halloween parties throughout the season, I mean, you're looking at 3-4 costumes or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, she goes all out here. And so she ended up saying, fuck, I don't know what to do. Last minute, backs against the wall. I really don't. She likes doing her makeup looks. And I don't know if you follow her on Instagram or anything, but she ended up doing a clown cowboy, I guess. Basically looked like a mime cowboy or whatever.
Okay.
Which turned out pretty cool. And it was all her signature color. She had like a purple wig and pigtails with a pink cowboy hat. And then this like bright blue and teal, like little outfit.
So completely original awesome. Character.
Yeah. Or completely yeah, that, original character. Loved
that,
it.
That's great. Yeah, I've always been a fan of like original characters when it comes to Halloween, you know.
Yeah, and she keeps saying, because we know our big spooktacular is coming up in 2 weeks, you know, the on the 29th. That's it. Can't wait to see who gets arrested. Can't wait to see who fights, all those good things. See who passes out, blackout, maybe even me. But, you know, she's pushing me hard, man, to put a costume together. And I'm putting my foot down. I'm just not doing it. Because as I said, I got way too many things to be doing at the party. In addition to getting absolutely blackout, I got to cook. I got to host. I got to make sure people aren't breaking shit up here in the toy room. So
you got to be the bouncer. Yeah, you got a lot of hats you got to wear there.
Yeah, man. What about you? What have you been up to?
I mean, spooky season wise, yeah, we've been all in on the McDonald's hype that's been
swooping
the nation and parts of Canada.
How's the haul going?
And dude, we got it, boy. We got
look at that, the McBoo,
the McBoo Halloween bucket. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. Connor got it, and we got the skull one. Yeah, the skull ghost one, and then I haven't really seen too many people post about the what is it, the witch, and then the pumpkin one. So, we're not going to be chasing those. Like, I'm good for McDonald's for my October quota for sure. I don't need to eat there again for a while. Whataburger though, I mean, I'd go every day.
Absolutely, and I have quite a problem with that. But what did you end up getting? Did you end up getting a kid's meal for yourself, or did you just steal this from the kid?
Yeah, no, I was just taking it from Connor, and then it's gonna go with the Halloween decorations. I don't know what we're gonna do with it, but yeah, all it is really is just the bucket. And then they didn't even give you a lid this year. So, like in previous seasons. I mean, it's been a while since we got the buckets, but like sometimes you would get an actual lid. You know, it snaps
inflation,
on
man. Can't afford that plastic, I guess.
Oh, they got cardboard. They got the Rancor cardboard tier 3 treatment. You know.
Well, I guess you know they had the cardboard laying around. They asked if they can. Hey, we can't use this stuff. Can you guys?
Yeah. Hasbro shipped McDonald's a bunch of cardboard. Yeah.
Based on the actual earnings reports from Hasbro, that's entirely possible. They're like, hey, man, we got to get a little money here at the bottom line. What are we going to do? Hey, I know McDonald's eats a bunch of cardboard. I'm going to ship them all those Rancor pieces.
Offload all those molds. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, but we're pretty much set for Halloween, you know, done, you know, buying new, you know, Halloween decorations for the yard. And we got our kind of yard decorated how we want it for this year, and just kind of finalizing our plans. We're going to be going to one Halloween party, and I will be doing Michael Myers. I got a whole
nice, it's a classic
Michael Myers ensemble, and geez, another opportunity for a segue here, but even with, you know, how how do I say this, how awful Halloween ends was, I mean, I don't know if you just want to get into it here.
We might as well. I mean, the cat's out of the bag, and there's no way to come back from it. I mean, it this is Halloween season. This is spooky season. Dave, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to rewind the clock back to 2018. Is that okay? Let's go back to 2018.
Yep.
I remember.
Take me back.
You guys have a Jonathan's Grill. Do you know what those are?
No, not familiar.
Okay. Well, it's like a sports bar type of thing. I didn't know if it was like regional or anything. So I remember sitting at a Jonathan's Grill, 2018, maybe around early October, late September, and me and a bunch of friends are getting ready to go to the movie house to see Halloween 2018, the return
David
of Michael Myers. Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, these trailers look bad ass. You know, Michael's been locked away for 40 years and now he's coming back for Lori. I was like, okay, so we're gonna do away with all the headcanon that we've had and all those things. Cool. This is
starting
officially,
over. Kinda, yeah.
This is officially the sequel. I'm like, okay, you know, say what you want about, you know, the Rob Zombie films and then all the other, you know, Halloween movies in between. And at this point, it's a little bit kind of like X-Men canon, but we'll get into that. But I was really hyped and I kind of really enjoyed 2018's Halloween. It was kind of a fresh reboot, fresh take on it. And I thought it was good. And I think you would agree with me on that, correct?
Yeah, it's probably out of, you know, all of the Halloweens. I was just doing this on Letterboxd the other day, yeah, like ranking, you know, now that the final installment for now at least is done, I was like, oh, I'm gonna rank them all. And I had that one at 4. Like that was a really good movie. I don't know if it was a lot of the anticipation of, you know, fuck dude, we're finally, you know, yeah, haven't had him on screen since you know, Resurrection, which was, you know, yikes, you know. So, or sorry, I guess no, the Rob Zombie sequel probably would have been, yeah, the last one, but yeah, I was I definitely fuck with 2018.
Yeah, and I thought that was a great film, and I was really hyped because I'd found out that this isn't just, you know, a reboot, this is going to be a trilogy. I'm like, oh, cool, okay, cool. And I don't know if you are aware, Dave, but then there was like a global pandemic that kind of shut down the world and kind of delayed some things, because originally I thought it was going to go 2018, 19, and 20 was going to knock out the Halloween trilogy,
yeah,
or whatever it was.
That sounds similar. Yeah, that sounds
so
similar.
Yeah. And I know they had filmed a lot of it, you know, all at once, you know, because why not?
Same,
you
sense,
mean,
yeah,
whatever. And so that's what I'd heard, that it's going to be Halloween Kills when that came out. And then they're like, okay, here's Halloween Kills. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then immediately the next Halloween will be Halloween Ends. I'm like, okay, cool. And so Halloween Kills came out last year. It doesn't even seem like that long ago, really. I feel like it just came out like 6 months ago. But Halloween Kills came out and it was okay. I mean, it was a continuation of, you know, 2018 that we know. And then we're like, okay, based on that, yeah, there's some funny things. It wasn't the greatest. It's hard to have the middle movie be tremendous. We know that. Usually got to, you know, come out strong, slip a little bit to set the plot points, and then nail home, you know, the final installment, which we finally got to, Dave. We're here at the final installment. Halloween Ends. And I've been tongue-in-cheek over the past 2 weeks saying, damn, so sad that this is the end of the Halloween franchise. I can't believe this is going to be the end. Who's going to die? Michael? Lori? What's going to happen? This is the end of the franchise, blah, 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 blah. And Dave, I think now that you and I both have seen Halloween Ends, I think it's safe to say Halloween does need to end at this point, because I think I saw your Letterboxd score. Did you give it a 1, 1.5? What was that Letterboxd score?
I give it a 1.5. And that was like, you
simply
know,
because of the John Carpenter score.
Yeah, I was like, all right. So the baseline, you know, halfway through the movie basically was like a 0 and it had to go up from there. Yeah, a 1.5. But go ahead with your point there.
Well, I'm just going to open this up to the floor, is that was probably, I don't know if they had original plans that they couldn't fulfill, but that was not a cohesive trilogy. That was not a cohesive story. And here's my issue with Halloween Ends, and spoilers, everyone. If you haven't seen Halloween Ends, available streaming on Peacock and in theaters, make sure to check that out. If you've not done so already, now's your chance to press pause and do something else. But we're getting into spoilers. Here we go. Why is Michael Myers not really the focal point of his own final chapter, for one? And when did... And here's my thing. Is his name Corey? Was that the
yeah,
other antagonist?
Yep.
Okay. At one point, I'm like, okay, is this the passing of the torch, essentially? And, you know, are we going to kind of just hand the mask off, so to speak, to somebody, yeah, else, essentially, to keep the franchise going? And that obviously isn't going to happen, because Corey is now dead and Michael is now dead. And I say dead, quote, you know, who knows at this point. But that was very, very weak. Like, you saw a really it was almost like Last Jedi version of Michael Myers that like wasn't himself, just like a bum that was showing his age. I mean, I guess he was supposed to be like, what, 80 at this point? I mean, his kills were not as ferocious. And you think about this, it was only like a 2-year time span, I guess. You know, why is he so weak now? But yeah, I was rather disappointed. And I actually did watch this without Amy because she just like, not yet, not yet, not yet. And I'm glad I did because she would never have let me live this down if she watched this with me.
That bad. Yeah. Yeah. I immediately thought, you know, I was gonna ask you, you know, if you see the parallels between, is this the Last Jedi version, you know?
Yes.
Or is or is this the, you know, because Halloween Kills got a lot of shit too. I think the jury's still out on, you know, Halloween Ends. I think there's gonna be a lot of people that are gonna start kind of retracting on their like, this is, you know, an awful movie. And there'll probably be people that, you know, are going to be like, it's one of my favorite, you know, it could grow over time.
Is that the Halloween franchise is not a deep thinking movie. You know, you can't be going into these movies thinking,
but
like,
this one definitely,
oh, let me look at the allegories and, you know, look at all the symbolism. And I was like, that is not what it's a slasher film. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be some deep, you know, have a roundtable discussion about it. This isn't Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I get what they were doing with Corey. I mean, that was just basically, you know, I you know, when you were talking about his kind of whole path and how, and then he died, it's like, what's the point? You know, it's like, why I introduced that character. Well, you know, it's the whole social commentary.
I guess technically to help Laurie at the end, maybe, but
yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, there's parts that I liked. I liked the, almost like the Texas Chainsaw 2, you know, radio station vibes, you know, and of course the soundtrack, you know, I've listened to it a few times, and it's great, man. I just love what Carpenter does there, and his son, and I believe there's a third person in their kind of their outfit that does the guitar, but that's great, but yeah, this did not cut it, man. I felt like there should have been way more moments with, you know, Lori and Michael. You know, it's kind of like,
I mean, don't say it's 40 years in the making and it all comes to this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, what's, you know, keep it simple, stupid, you know, like I'm not trying to get, you know, one of those deep thought movies, like you just said, you know, like I do want something different, but like, I'm also not going to hate on it if it is just like a, you know, a nicer, cleaner version of like the same kind of formula in essence. So, yeah, wasn't for me. I'm glad people, you know, some people are enjoying it, but yeah, it's definitely one of the weaker, showings for me.
Well, and that's the thing about, you know, Halloween is that it does kind of, no pun intended, resurrect itself. And people, as soon as they hear the notes, you know, from the theme, they'll be hype again. And whether it's, you know, just a, obviously, I feel like this chapter, you know, is done, but, you know, maybe someone like Zombie or someone crazy out there. I just hope Jordan Peele doesn't get it to say, you know, Jordan Peele's Halloween, you know, that could be ridiculous. You know, something like that. It needs to be handled properly. But I don't know how many times you can tell that story again over and over, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, because, you know, it's almost like the beauty of why a lot of people think that he's so scary is that, you know, he is kind of just someone that is
no story
polarizing.
Yeah, you don't have to think hard about it. Well, although that's polarizing, Dave, and both you and I didn't like it, there was a movie that I think you did like that you did get to see as well, correct?
Yes, and this is a top 3 theater experience of my entire life.
Really?
And I've seen a lot of movies.
What tops 1 and 2 are?
Well, top 1 has got to be Phantom Menace. Before it was released in general public, I got to see it the night before for screening when I was working at the theater.
You are elite.
Fucking baller elite, bro. That I'll bring that up at like bar night every now and again, you know. That's like my trump card, you know, like, oh, nice. Cool. Well, kind of, unless you were like, you know, working for, you know, Lucasfilm at the time, right, I probably saw episode 1 before you. So yeah, that one. And dude, this one was right up there. So this is a sold out comes on Thursday, so like one of those that comes out on Friday, but yeah, it's like yeah, a yeah. you know, kind of situations.
The new age midnight premiere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it was at one of these boutique movie theaters called the Majestic, and they normally do Cinema Tuesday. Or no, sorry, Cemetery or Cinema Tuesday, where it's like, you know, Cemetery Tuesday, you know. Yeah. And they play, you know, Evil Dead and, you know, just horror movies and whatnot. And anyways, they did it for this. They shifted it to Thursday. And yeah, it was just packed. The whole Terror Trader crew was there. I went with my buddy Hunter, and there was
the cat lady.
Hunter the cat lady, cat daddy, shout out cat daddy. And there was actually extra that was in the movie that gets killed by Art the Clown, and she was watching with us. So
awesome.
That's when cool. when she died, and she died in very Art the Clown fashion, that like the whole place just went nuts, laugh, you know, cheering, you know, it was just such a wild experience. Like the whole theater was, you know, everyone's wearing black, you know, right. it was a hell of a show. And if you've seen Terrifier 1, this is amplified, you know, a couple more notches, 211. I mean, it's great.
Does it borderline or border on like a smut film, would you say?
No, it's just extreme gore. Just over the top violence. If anyone's kind of queasy about that kind of stuff, but like you are kind of, you know, wondering, you know, maybe you can stomach the typical slasher movies, like, you know, Friday the 13th or whatnot.
Right.
If you can stomach that and you're thinking about Terrifier, because it is getting a reputation now, like this, the name Terrifier is getting,
does it rank in the RoboCop violence?
Oh man. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen RoboCop, but like, what's the most like?
I mean, blowing off his hands with shotguns and bloody stumps and things like that.
Yeah, but think of that, but like in the face.
Oh, fantastic!
You know, so I mean, it's an independent film, and the guy that made it, Damien, I forget his last name, Leon, he does the practical effects too. And he's really good at practical effects. So that kind of piece is so amazing. But anyways, what I was saying, you know, if you're kind of teetering on it, all you got to really do is just say like, hey, my expectations, this is going to be over the top. Get ready and buckle in. And it's great. It's 2.5 hours though. That's
a long time for a horror film.
Yeah, that's a long time. And I was thinking, well, maybe it's just because it's his cut. Like every director's cut is normally.
Oh, this was a director's cut then. Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming it's an independent. It's his film.
Yeah, good point.
You know, he backed it. So that's my only thinking there, because I was like, oh, I could kind of edit it. Yeah, I could take out some whole scenes, you know, that were just kind of. They didn't move the plot at all or anything, but yeah, the violence is over the top. The acting is really good.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, dude, top three theater experiences. Jurassic awesome. Park would be in there for probably two, maybe probably top five. Jurassic Park, yeah.
I got you. Well, that's fantastic. I don't know if it's still for me, because as I said, I would have to. Amy's never going to go.
Yeah.
She does not do that type of gratuitous gore type of thing. So it would have to be, who knows, when you and I are smashed at ICCC and yes. we have nothing else to do, let's just throw on some Terrifier. Why not?
Comfort food. Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's talk about something a little more calming, I suppose, but still gory nonetheless. But since we had our last podcast, Dave, something that you and I both were looking forward to, Werewolf by Night on Disney Plus, a spooky movie that was supposed to be, you know, Marvel's big foray into the horror genre, perhaps, officially launched. And what do you think, man?
I think the hype got to me on this one. What's that?
Were you whelmed?
Content, whelmed. I mean, I was average. Yeah. Like I was going in wanting to love this. I was like, dude, hell yeah. Like, let's go. You know, you got Moon Knight options. You got Universal Monsters. What's not to like. Right. So I was getting really excited, but, I was kind of expecting more of like, an origin, I guess. And I know we're going to get all those pieces of the puzzle, you know, later on in other shows and stuff like that. And I don't think I'm as much of a fan of that formula anymore.
And I feel you on that. And I know for a Marvel film, it was pretty gory, if you want to call it that. I mean, there was, you know, body parts and blood and things like that. But the thing that I didn't like is that if you're going to go that route, you know, animated corpses and, you know, beheadings and such, I don't know if you need the comedy. And I think that Marvel-fied it a little bit. And that was a little odd to me, you know, with Ted, aka Man-Thing, which was a beautiful practical effect, by the way.
Yeah. I didn't even really realize that was all practical.
Yeah, and I thought that was fantastic what they did there. The visuals were stunning, but I was honestly checking my watch a couple times, wondering how much longer is this going on?
And it was only like 54 minutes or something.
Yeah,
right?
And I feel like that, I don't know. I mean, it was a tournament to get the Bloodstone, you know, it was setting up the Elsa Bloodstone storyline and things like that. And I don't know. I gave it like a 2.5 or a 3 out of 5.
I think I was around there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that tournament idea, you know, getting the best of the best from different, yeah, you know, kind of, you know, areas. I love that. I'm a sucker for whatever that, you know, trope is. I'm all in on that. But I just, the execution on, you know, that part of it just kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah, not. I'm happy I saw it. I hope they do more things like that. And obviously I think they'll end up, now that the color's back, you know, they may do some more things with it. It was funny since, you know, Man-Thing used to be a Marvel Legends Build-A-Figure that was usually going for about $13 online, the old bath.
Yeah.
I think it was going for like $160 on the old eBay, because you know how people get the FOMO and just have to have the figure. Well,
when do we get that?
It'll be a deluxe for sure.
Yeah.
If I would have known, I would have loved to put that on the 2022, you know,
our
predictions list. And yeah, boy, we are falling rather short in that, aren't we?
Yeah, I could see that coming in a 2-pack, right? Like or
the mold already there. Yeah.
Or just a deluxe, you know. Put some Werewolf by Night packaging or branding on it. And
but would you be adding this to your seasonal rotation? Is it something you'd watch yearly? Will you watch it again? Does it have rewatchability?
I'm definitely gonna watch it again. I probably won't watch it until next year though, unless something comes out, you know, that does draw my attention that I am in and I need to go back and you know follow up on what happened previous episode, you know, with Werewolf. But I don't see it making like a annual every single year watching Werewolf by Night. But what I do see myself potentially doing is maybe getting this is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be doing this every Halloween. You're going to be buying a statue. And
yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
How about you tell us about your recent little music statue?
Oh man, I don't even know what to call this. Is I guess it was on the Sideshow Con 2 weeks ago, and they're like, check out this new Pure Arts 1/3 scale hyper realistic statue of Michael fucking Jackson in his Smooth Criminal outfit, baby. And I was like, oh, this is really, really cool. It's got the iconic lean, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And I was like, okay, this is cool, because I got, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, hot toys and figures, but this is cool. But then they're like, if you get the deluxe edition, Dave, you get this unbelievable jukebox that has lights and speaker built into it, that when it notates the different decibels and such, that, you know, the lights on the jukebox go up and down. And so I'm like, okay, I mean, this is kind of expensive. Do I need this? And I did the old, Dave, talk me out of this situation.
Yeah.
And you, this is what you said, man. This is what you said. You said, I think it's cool. I think it has a place in your collection. It should be in your collection. What you told me. And
don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Did say that. And then you said, I think you will regret not. It better get it now than trying to chase it later. And this is a deluxe exclusive numbered edition. And it was when I was doing Drink Around the Mall. We're supposed to go see Smile that night. We did our Drink Around the Mall. And I was probably halfway through our adventure. And I'm like, fuck it, you know, and start scrolling through. And what do you know? I added it to the cart and boom, there it goes. And so it shipped and it was in stock and it came in today, Dave. It came in today.
No shit.
And the box is incredible.
It's got to be the size of like a refrigerator, dude.
It came in two big old boxes. And one is like, if you just get the standard edition, it's like a white box or whatever. And then like chrome blue, like lettering or whatever that says, you know, MJ, you know, that's that MJ crest and seal. But if you get the deluxe, that's the separate second box. It's inverse. It's a chrome blue box with the white lettering, and you know, and it's the smooth criminal colors, you know, essentially. Yeah. And damn, man, I have it set right there. I'm talking right now and I'm seeing the little levels go up and down. It is gorgeous, gorgeous. And I told you today, man, it was probably the most hyped figure slash piece I've been looking for a minute, because I've been unashamedly an MJ fan since day one. And this thing is everything that I'd hoped it to be. And this is an absolute stunning, stunning piece.
Yeah, dude. What when I saw it, I believe it was on Sideshows.
I think you tagged me in it.
Well, is that how you found out?
I think so. You said, oh, just put Kiko on there. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I didn't see it originally.
Yeah, that's as soon as I saw that, I was just like, well, I know that, you know, it's going to be bigger scale than your six scale figures that you have, right? But do you know kind of where you're going to, you know, have it all? Are you going to just do an MJ shrine at this point? You know,
I wouldn't go that far, but I actually originally had it here. Like when I talk about when you come up the stairs, you know, you got the giant Venom piece and then Carnage, you know, on the one side, I put it next to the Venom and it just didn't look right. You know, I'm like, that's not working for me. So I did move it over here and it's kind of right in the corner next to the window and it's got its own kind of little area. And it's right next to, you know, the lights behind it. And man, it looks good. It looks real, real good.
Nice, man. Well, I'm sure you'll be taking some pictures of it and looking forward to seeing those, man. So yeah, check out, what is it? At Kiko Collects on Instagram?
Yeah, Kiko Collects on the IG. And I just unboxed it probably maybe an hour before, you know, we went on the air here, and I'm still going to be taking it all in a little bit too.
I bet, man. Enjoy it. That's a big piece, dude. Well,
no pun intended.
You told me that you're getting this and we started talking, I started thinking about, like, you know, usually when you think about six scale, and I know the statue that you got is more quarter scale, or is it like a third?
The MJ is a 1/3 scale.
A 1/3. Okay. Yeah. So a little bit bigger than the six scale, obviously. But
the figure himself is 24 inches. So he's 2 feet tall.
Oh, shit. Wow. Okay. So I started thinking, what other kind of, you know, music icons would either of us want, you know, if I'm personally, you know, I'm not, you know, in that space yet. I might get there. I mean, I'm kind of pretty much just still Star Wars and, you know, a few kind of movie pieces.
It's a dark hole, man. You never think you'd be here until you're there.
It's a dark hole. What do you start with outside of Star Wars? You're Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
You talking about like collecting in general?
No, six scale. Like, weren't you originally just collecting Star Wars? And
I think it probably was Jack Sparrow. Yeah, you might be right about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought like we might have already discussed that, but yeah. Like, so does anyone else jump to your mind, like, that you would want? Like, there might even be, you know, a company that makes them, but you know, like, who's someone else that you would want in a music you know, medium like that?
Yeah, I think if Pure Arts, the company that did this one, were to do the exact same thing, exact same scale, with this type of detail, the real hair. I mean, he even has eyelashes, believe this or not. It's crazy. But if they were to do the exact same thing, when I saw this on the docket, I said, I know exactly what I want. I would want the exact same thing. Instead of the jukebox, make it a Marshall cab. I want fucking Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Dude, yes. Okay.
It would look incredible. Yeah.
Okay. I like this. Yeah. I mean, dude, you could throw on, think of the accessories that you could include with that.
Yeah.
The cigarettes, the Jack Daniels, you know, like glasses.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's so many ways that you can customize it. You know, you could even do a deluxe edition with different, you know, clothes or different guitars. You know, I mean, it's, I would love to see that 100%.
I mean, there's so many that I was thinking of, you know, it, that would look good. Yeah. Like they check the box for being an icon and will they look at it as an action figure? Right. Cause right. I mean, there's yeah. some people that just, well, who really wants, you know, a six scale of just like a Forrest Gump looking, you know, type plain exactly. Jane figured. Right. But like, okay, you got Prince, right? Prince would be,
ooh, that'd be a good one too.
Amazing. How hard would that one be?
Yeah.
Elton
purple
John,
rain guitar. Yeah.
Elton John with the deluxe piano, you know, your
Freddie
boys,
Mercury.
Yeah, Freddie, Van Halen, you know,
yeah.
get both of them on there, you know, a two-pack, Sammy and David.
I mean, I wouldn't, this may be a little more controversial or whatever, but I wouldn't mind, you know, some Motley Crue, you know, maybe a Tommy on the drums type of thing. I think that could be fun.
I mean, that yes, that would be sick. But dude, how fucking sick would just straight up old school Metallica, all black, you know, they're all in their,
yeah.
you know, their hair days, you know,
the pre-grandpa days. I saw that. I think we've talked about this before about some people just need to, once you hit a certain time, just go ahead and shut it down. And by speaking of Motley Crue, I don't know if you heard, but Mick Mars is officially kind of stepping away from touring. His health is just too bad. He's 71, which is that is not young by yeah. any means. But all that to say is that some of these people I wish, you know, would just be done. And I saw Metallica. Who were they singing with? It was like some pop star. I forget who it was. But I was like, why are you doing this with them? It was very, very awkward. They were like singing. It was Carrie Underwood. That's what it was. It's Metallica and Carrie Underwood. I'm like, this does not make any sense to myself. And how about that?
How about that? I mean, well, it's money. You know, they got that Stranger Things money now, though, you know.
Oh, I guarantee, you know, they've been cashing that check. They're like, yeah, let's just ride this nostalgia act out. Yeah. But kind of going back to that one, I think, you know, with those old nostalgia acts, I think an Ozzy would be cool, depending
oh,
on which
my God,
genre,
yeah.
genre you get. That'd be a cool one, too.
Yeah, yeah. You could do a couple versions of him, you know, you even do like an elder Ozzy of, you know, him on the TV show days, you know, just running around.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to think of some other ones. I mean, I feel like the Beatles are too like easy, you know.
Yeah. They would be like the peg warmer of the
yeah,
wave.
Yeah, I mean, just because they're already merched out so much, you know, you can pretty much get anything. But I like, it's got to be iconic enough, like where someone walks up the stairs and say, I know who that is type of thing. It's not a, who are these four guys in suits, you know, type
yeah.
of thing. You know,
like,
you don't want that.
Even Nirvana would be like kind of not yeah. iconic enough, you know, like Beastie Boys, maybe
Kurt Cobain himself. But I mean, you can put Foo Fighters up there and no one's going to, I was like, is that Dave Grohl? Or, I mean, you got a bad face sculpt. I mean, there's no telling who you got up there. You got to end up with Zach Galifianakis or something.
Yeah. You got to have the right guy. It's at Hot Toys, you know, doing the sculpt on that
right.
one.
Damn.
Well, all right, man. Well, so I've my first toy show is coming up, dude. The Epic Toy Show. That's on
in the
making,
is it not?
It's in the making. It's this Saturday, the 22nd, I believe that's a Saturday. And yeah, Polar Bear Collectibles is throwing it on. I'm prepping. I'm doing the pricing. You know, I'm getting all that stuff out ahead of time. And as I kind of started putting everything in the pile to sell, I was like, okay, I have a lot of stuff in the to sell table. Okay. I got a lot of stuff. And I'm like, well, this is all the stuff that I thought I was going to sell, and there's already a lot. And then I was like, there's like more stuff I want to go. So, and then I don't know if you get like this, you know, when you're doing spring cleaning or you're going through the closet or something, and you get in that mode of like kind of, you know, cleaning that, throwing stuff away or taking stuff to Goodwill. And I almost was like doing that. I was like, well, shit, you know, maybe I can get rid of this too. And maybe I'll get rid of this. And I had to kind of stop myself because I was almost purging too much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever done that? You know, when you've offloaded a few figures, have you kind of like, I know we've talked about this on other episodes of like, you know, what point does an item look more like money than the item, you know, but have you kind of gotten into that or ever experienced that where you're like, okay, I'm offloading maybe too much now, you know?
Well, when I first moved on into the six scale collecting is I kind of went through that, and you get so nervous because you're like, oh, do I want to do this? What if I'm going to regret this? It's so crazy. But like, once you break that seal, you're starting to grab everything, you know, cause you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, the seal is broken. I'm just going to go ahead and grab this, grab that. You know, I'm just might as well throw these on eBay, you know, lot sale, here we go.
Yep.
And just try to capitalize on all those things. And I'm going to be honest, man, is that I have not regretted selling a thing yet. Not a thing. I feel like I've been fairly calculated in what it is that I am moving and why. I will say that if I buy something stupid, I need to get it out quicker, such as
you'll watch the value of it, you know,
yeah,
more carefully.
And I also need to be more selective in what I get in the first place, you know, because that will, it'll keep you from doing those purges later. Because man, I'm still just like scratching my head that when I went through that DC phase, you remember that? Like I was adding like DC, like, why was I doing that? Dave, why didn't you stop me? It was so weird. Like I felt like I just, oh, I got Superman. He just, because those were given to me.
And know? Snyder Cut just came out. You know, there's a lot of hype there. I don't blame you. It's okay, man. It happens.
But I was like, am I going to regret this? I'm going to regret this. But as soon as I posted them and I boxed those bitches up, like I was like, I don't even miss them at all. Don't miss them at all.
Yeah.
And so I don't care about any of those. The only ones, this is going to be controversial. I can almost, because I sometimes see dollar signs, is that Keaton Batman may not have its ultimate place in my display. It's highly desirable, but Bale is my Batman. I mean, I grew up with, you know, the 89 Batman, but I the representation of the Dark Knight is Christian Bale to me. But, and I'm looking at it right now, I'm like, a lot of people want that Michael Keaton, but I don't know. I'm not in that position just yet, but
sure,
it's interesting.
Well, okay, well, it's good to feel like I'm not, you know, kind of, you know, going crazy. And you know, it's like, oh, am I just losing interest in collecting, you know, what's that? But I did completely offload, or I'm offloading a line, something that I was kind of not complete on, but probably like 90% complete. Do you want to take any guesses?
When did this become 90% gone? I need a time frame.
Oh no, no, 90
this past week?
90% complete. Okay. It's not Black Series.
It's not G.I. Joe.
No. So do you remember, you know, so Mego, those carded figures that are like, I believe they're 10 inches. They're cloth.
Yeah. Those are all over Target.
Yep. So all the horror ones I was collecting. So I have about 20 or so of those.
I'm going to lie, I didn't realize there was more than five of those.
Oh, they started really ramping them up. Like originally when like Mego came back, right, and it was like announced that they're going to start doing action figures again. And Marty Abrams, I believe his name is, he, you know, is like, hey, you know, we're going to start making toys again. And they started with a few Target exclusive waves. I believe the first one was like a Dracula. There might have been a Frankenstein and some other, you know, like Star Trek character or like a Dukes of Hazzard character and whatnot. But yeah, there's a lot more. They've pretty much covered all the Universal monsters, and they've gotten into like modern horror too, with like Freddy Krueger's and, you know, Michael Myers and you name it. They got Reagan, Chucky. So there's a lot. And yeah, I had those on my wall in my last collection room, and I just don't have the wall space. I don't really want to put you know, figures on my wall anymore. So they've just kind of been in the closet, and I'm like, well, hey, it's a Halloween toy show. You know, I'll try to sell these for a fair price. So they weren't initially part of, you know, my intended, you know, stuff to sell is what I was getting at. So I'm hoping I don't have a seller's remorse on that. So more to come.
No, I don't think you will. And would you consider those to be fairly easy to get back again if you needed them?
I think so. I mean, because they're not great action figures. They are. I've seen some YouTube reviews of people like taking the cloth off of them, and they're like, you know, yeah. my kids have better, you know, Barbies and stuff like that than these. So, the body of the toy, it's not really that great. And but they're you know, they're like $15. You know, I like the price point on them, and they look good on a card. You know, that's the other thing. I like the cards of them. But yeah, we'll see. Some more on that on our November 1st show.
That sounds like a good idea, because I did that when is enough show, and that, you know, I'm going to be moving things out before, you know, I feel like I've gone back on that a little bit. You know, we're starting to, I mean, there's statues sitting over here right now that have no business being here at this point. Dave, do you remember when, like, I got my first statue and I said, that's it, no more? What on God's name have I done at this point? So we need to rethink, you know, some moving of around. It was funny. Amy came up here just yesterday, I think, to bring me something. She's like, so what are we going to do when we turn this officially like into a living room for guests? You know, because that was my overall plan. I'm like, that's a good question. Yeah, we're not there right now. You know, we have other things that we're worrying about. Yeah. So we'll worry about that then. So I think I'm riding out, you know, at this point, you know, we'll just need to just get a new house by then. And so, sure. Yeah, by the time we get ready to fix this living room up there, you know, we'll move on to something else. So we'll see.
Oh man. Yeah. The fun of, you know, trying to negotiate more square footage, you know, for the nerd cave,
of course,
you know,
because I mean, you know, our spouses know, they know, I mean, we're collectors at heart, you know, we're going to be doing this forever. And, you know, it's just, you'll be like, oh yeah, we need more space for the kids or whatever. Don't lie. It's more space for us. We know that. So dude, yeah, it's a dangerous game.
That's another reason why I like Halloween so much, because like, yeah, my collection can kind of just bleed out into the rest of the house. You know, I started throwing the creep show blanket on the family room couch. You know, I got the Michael Myers pillow in the living room, you know. So okay, Kev. So let's wrap up. Let's go over some Letterboxd scores that we've had the last couple weeks to close up the last episode of the Halloween season, man. So
I feel like I've not done myself justice. Every single Halloween season, I mean, we still got 2 weeks, you know, to really, you know, ramp up to get some of the things under our belt. But I feel by this point, I should have some more bullets in the chamber to fire. But I told you, I feel like every single time we get on here to do our Letterboxd box score is I said, I'm done with the Hulu recommendations.
Yes.
Damn it. It got me again. It got me again. Cause they're like, okay, here's your Halloween suggestion type of thing. I'm like, oh, cool. Ooh, look at this. And they always put like the real nice, like graphical art type of thing. And I was like, oh, that looks intriguing. And it's funny, cause like Amy doesn't ever want to watch the trailers, because, you know, nowadays trailers show too much and you'll get a plot point.
Same.
So we're like, okay, this is the one we're going with. Boom, we're in. So we ended up doing this one called Private Property. Have you seen this yet?
I haven't even heard of it. No.
No. Well, it's on the Hulu original suggested board, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, cool. It's got Ashley Benson in it. You know, she's the girl from Pretty Little Liars. Yep. You know, things. Not the best actress, but not terrible by any means. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's supposed to be a thriller, and it starts off with promise. Okay, it's got like your 1984 synth type music. I'm like, yep, okay, cool, this is what we're talking about just this week. You know, I'm digging the sound vibes, you know, really, really cool. On my Letterboxd box score, there are three movies that I've rated a half star or lower, and this is one of them. And I've talked about this before. The Last Jedi is a half star. Midsommar is one star. At least you get some, you know, Florence Pugh and some, at least some artistical prettiness.
Yeah.
But this, like, I don't think you can rate it zero. Can you?
No. I mean, okay. No. Yeah. I don't think you can.
Okay. Well, this was about as low of a half star as you can possibly get. This was so bad that it wasn't like Hallmark movie, like silly bad. Like, it was poorly acted, poor done storytelling, and it was just completely ridiculous. I was like, we were just like, and it was a train wreck. You had to finish it because you're like, how much worse can
you're invested
get? And you're invested. And it was the typical like 92 minutes, you know, or 82 minutes or whatever, so you know, it's just a real quick short film. But damn, that was one of the worst ones I've ever seen. So do not give in to the Hulu suggestions, people, because
it'll screw
you every time. And it got me again. But here it is, Dave. As of right now, I will not be doing any more Hulu suggestions. Mark it down.
Don't do it, man. Yeah, no more Hulu. But you know what you can do?
What's that?
You can go to Peacock, because on Peacock, so I only got Peacock just to do Halloween Ends. I did the same thing.
I got it for that and the football games.
Okay, there you go. So I did the same thing with Halloween Kills. Just get it for a month, you know, watch all the Halloween shit. They curate their Halloween stuff really nice. And you can find some good stuff, because they do the subgenres really well. And then they also have all their TV shows that they have. They'll have all the episodes for every.
Yeah,
like,
it's all Roseanne. The Halloween episodes. Yeah, I saw that. That's great.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. But my Letterboxd is going for a movie that I've been wanting to watch. This movie for a while, but I've been saving it, Kevin. I've been saving this movie.
Saving it.
Because I just.
Like a
I
bottle
knew
of fine
like
wine
it.
For a special occasion?
Very fine wine. So, you know, John Carpenter is, you know, aside from George Lucas, my favorite director. Absolutely love everything for the most part. I watched Vampires the other night and I was like, okay, that movie does not hold up. But I pretty much love everything that John Carpenter does. And one movie that I haven't seen ever is Prince of Darkness with Donald Pleasance.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
I have not, but everyone knows Donald Pleasance.
Yes. And also has Victor Wong from Big Trouble and Tremors.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's funny how, you know, John Carpenter just, you know, he almost does like an Adam Sandler move. You know, he recycles all of his, you know, old people that he's worked with, you know,
like Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. Yeah. So the movie's fantastic. It's like I feel like it was when John Carpenter is probably like, oh man, like, okay, you know, 78 Halloween, he got on the map, right? That's a perfect movie. But this, like, I feel like this is super underrated in terms of, you know, everyone knows John Carpenter for probably, you know, The Thing and Halloween, but I don't really hear a lot of people talking about Prince of Darkness. This movie is unreal. Everything about it is perfect.
Is on Peacock?
This is on, I believe I watched it on Peacock. But
okay.
it's even got your boy Alice Cooper in it.
Fucking fan of Alice Cooper.
Fucking kills a guy. It's great. But yeah, the story is so fucking good. I love this story. Definitely big time recommendation from Order 66 Junkie here.
Well, all I know is that I am never going to do the Hulu recommendation again, but I will take that Order 66 Junkie recommendation any damn time.
Terrifier 2 and Prince of Darkness for me. Those are my recs.
Well, I can't recommend Private Property.
Yeah, don't.
But I will certainly check out the rest of them.
Oh shit, man. Okay, well, thanks for chatting, Kevin. Obviously, this is a lot of fun, man. It's good talking to you, and yeah, man.
As always, man.
Have a happy, you know, fourth quarter stretch, and hopefully everyone else has a, you know, fabulous, safe Halloween, and we'll see everybody in a couple weeks. See you, Kevin.
Later.